reading from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Remember also Brother Sandy Allen's Thanksgiving camp, Thanksgiving week up at Bates Baptist Campground. We'll be there, the Lord willing. There will be a great time had for all. But listen, be sure to come and be in that camp. I know God will bless your heart real good. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist. I like this, preaching. Don't you like that? I never spent a second card in my life with many speakers. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floors and gather his wheat into his garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And our Father, again we want to say how grateful we are for this blessed book. As our brother is saying tonight, the old black book. God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you've given it to us to show us and to guide us. In the beginning was the Word. How we thank you, dear Lord, that thy word today is still powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword. God, tonight I pray that you let this thy servant take it and one more time use it for thy glory and for thy honor. May each preacher here tonight pray for me as they would have me pray for them if they were standing where I'm standing tonight. If they've come to find fault, Lord, with my speaking, my diction, my English, Lord, they'll surely have no problem. But Lord, if they're your man, they'll pray for me. So I trust tonight that every mother and every Christian will pray the prayer in my behalf as we bring the message. Save souls, draw the backslidden home to thee, revive us all, for we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're living in a time of passiveness. In a time, dear one, when men, I am sorry to say, are seemingly afraid to do anything in the preaching of the Word that might somehow stir up the water. Some time ago, a preacher came to me and was brazing enough to say, I'd have you in my church, but I'm afraid it might stir up something. Never have asked for a place to preach in my life, but I wish I could do it. Amen? I wish I could do it. Dear ones, tonight I have looked down through the Bible. I have examined the men, the preachers of the Word of God. And you can do likewise in the Word of God, and you will find the men that God had called and sometimes placed on the backside of the desert. You can trace their ministry. And they were not, I say they were not, this rose water, perfume squirting, air tickling, back patting, compromising, cast for milk toast, corner cutting, peak lemonade sipping society kind of preachers. Amen? God. No, I said men of God. I don't believe in women preachers. It was a rooster that crowed and woke Peter up, not a hen. But you say, I believe in him. Well, that makes me right and you wrong then, amen? But notice, these men were unique in their ministry. They were not, I say again, the little passive kind of ear-tickling, back-patting preacher. They were real men of God that even in that day took stands that were controversial and many times got their heads cut off. Amen? But we've got this little bunch of fingernail-chewing preachers running around today. Said, well, I said it, but I didn't mean you. If you've got enough backbone to say it, stand by it. Amen? And if you haven't, don't say it. Just don't say it. And if you're so compromising and you're out in your stand that you'll say it and then compromise about it, don't get around me. I don't want to mess with you. I don't even shake hands with you. I don't want to be around you. And if I get around you, I'll fumigate the polecats when I get home. Amen? I ain't got no use for you. I don't like you. If I don't like you either, boy, that shakes me up. Amen? But Pope Chairman tonight, if there's ever been a time in this world that we have some God-called troublemakers, it's right now in the day we live. I want to preach tonight on God's troublemakers. God's troublemakers. Now you said, Richard Luke, what in the world are you talking about? Aren't we supposed to go around stopping trouble? I believe that there is a peacemaker in the Bible. And God's got a blessing for him. But the kind of trouble I'm talking about is the kind of men that stood in their day and give the devil all the trouble that he could handle. Amen. I don't believe we're supposed to go around with a backbone like a frostbit potato pan. I believe, God bless your heart, that God wants some men today that'll stand up and be counted for Jesus. Now somebody said, how can I stir up trouble? Number one, let's go way back over in the Bible and find one of God's first troublemakers. Now somebody said, who was he, preacher? His name was Noah. Amen. Now somebody said, how did he start trouble? The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. And if you don't believe that kind of preacher will stir up trouble, you just try it. Amen. You start preaching for folks to live a godly, separated, dedicated, consecrated life, and all of a sudden an old heifer will raise up and begin to better. Amen. He'll stop hell in this day we're living in. It'll get you in trouble, but God wants you to do it anyhow. Amen. I'll tell you, bring to mind tonight, we need some men that'll preach on righteousness again. Preach on righteousness. That simply boils down to right living. Right living. Now there's teasing men tonight coming in the door. Somebody said, can you tell I've been to the barber shop? Some of them I could, some of them I couldn't. Amen. I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart that, my dear friend, when preachers, listen to me, man, it's easy today if you don't watch, just to gradually give in. Just a little bit. My granddad was a good old-fashioned farmer. And you know what? He learned me a lesson. You don't back away from a hedgerow when you're plowing. If you back away from it one year, when you get back the next year, it'll have grown out that far. You don't back out from a hedgerow. You just get you a briar blade or a briar sign, dive into it, and cut her down. Amen. Preacher, tell me, it's easy. It's as easy as everything to see one of your influential members come in the door on a Sunday morning. That comes their little daughter on, you know, with her dress tail wet. And you know, there she comes walking in. And it's easy to say, well, I'll not preach that this morning. You hear me today. You start backing up from the devil, and he'll run you off. Amen. You can't back up. Nor preach righteousness or right living. I believe that ought to be preached today, don't you? I can't hear you. Well, you said, now, Preacher Blue, what was sin 10 years ago is not sin anymore. You're a nut. If it was sin 75 years ago, it's still sin then. Well, somebody said, the times have changed. Well, God hadn't changed a bit. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and change not. And the Bible said, all unrighteousness is sin. We're living in the day now. Did you know, dear friends,
that you know in the northern sections of our country it's quite common for women, I started to say ladies, but I won't do it, women to come to church in pantsuits. It's not right there, and it's not right here. Dear friend, listen to me. I believe with all my soul in separated, consecrated living. Now, dear one, listen. I know tonight that this kind of preaching don't get popular, but God honors it. God honors it. Here, a while back, a preacher called me for revival, and I preached the first night, and he got mad at me and went down and sat back on the back pew and wouldn't speak to me. The pastor of the church. It wouldn't speak to me. Somebody said, well, did you leave? No, God wouldn't let me. God said, just stay on till he gets up enough nerve to run y'all. He never did get it. Amen. Somebody said, what about your offer? Never got one. But God let me preach anyhow. Amen. Let me tell you, God helped a man today that'll water his message down for the offer. I tell you what, I'm glad I still believe in the old-fashioned divine Bible calling. Amen. I think God's able to call men that'll stop trouble for the devil. Yes, sir. Now you say, well, yeah, sometimes you have to preach the pastors too. Yes, sir. And I never will forget. I went into a little old town. I got there late one evening, and the pastor came and met me. And he said, now, you'll be staying at this motel right here, and you'll be eating at that restaurant right back. And he went up and introduced me to the proprietor of the restaurant and the motel. And it was getting about church time, and I did not have time to eat, and I invited her to come to church. She said, I'm planning on coming. And that night, I preached one of those messages that, you know, some folks don't like. And there that dear lady was, the proprietor of the restaurant and the cafe. And I just preached it like it was, to men like they are. And the next morning, I went up for breakfast. And I sat down at a little table, you know, just sat down there at the table. My back was to where she was sitting at. And I sat down there and picked up the little menu, and she walked around. And I didn't know, but she walked up to the side of me. Now, you saw how they roll up the silverware sometimes in the napkin, haven't you? And brother, listen, she didn't gently lay it down. She threw it down and said, what do you want? Well, you can tell right there she's fond of me. Well, I said, I'll have a couple of eggs over light, please, and some grits and some sausage and some coffee. She never said one thing, just turned around and walked up. She came back. Let me hold up my hand to God in heaven. I thought I saw eggs prepared in every way in my life. But I'm honest. They had been roasted, boiled, and burned. And that coffee, I don't know until this day how she got it that way. You could stir it. It'd follow you around in the curve. And the grits, I won't comment. And she walked around in front of me and her eyes were sparkling. She said, you talk like you're the only one going to heaven. I said, lady, after I eat this, I can't tell what'll happen. She said, I'll have you to know I'm as good as you are. I said, are you bragging or complaining? She said, I've been a church member for years. And she just went on, yakety, 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 yak. And she just fuming mad. And I said, looked up at her when I'd had all of it I could take and wanted to take. And I said, you ain't got enough nerve and guts to come back tonight. She said, I'll be there. And I said, I looked right up at her and I said, me too. Well, somebody said you must have kind of watered down the message. I'm not going to hold a man again. There's been times I've preached me. And then there's times I've preached me. But I'm honest before God. I got some mean that night. I got scared myself. I ain't never. They just guts and gallbladders everywhere. Amen. I ain't never got that mean in my life. There that old heifer lady was standing back there. Just standing there. And I mean, she just glaring at me. Just glaring at me. And I went in the next morning. I said, what do you want now? I said, could I have a box of cornflakes? She never even brought me a spoon. I had to drink. I couldn't even listen. She was as mad as a devil. You know what? I love she come around. She started fuming again. Before she opened her mouth, I said, you ain't brave enough to come tonight. She said, I'll be there. sure enough, there she was. Brother, I let her have both barrels again. Amen. God bless your heart. The last night I preached on how that God takes the old heart out and puts a new one in. And that old girl was standing back there. She came down the aisle and took me by the hand. Tears dripping off her chin. The only thing she could say was, "I'm sorry." And she jerked her hand out of my hand and went back. I never saw her the next morning. I left early. I'll tell you what, the next week I started revival at Trenton, Georgia. On Monday night, God bless your heart, I looked up coming through the door, and there she come, amen. Well, bless your heart. You'll never bless your dear heart. Get folks right with God until you plow through where they're living at. You've got to plow through there. God bless some of you preachers running around with one of these. You know what? What do you know kind of push plows you push in the garden? Why, listen, a good healthy roach bug could plow better than that. Amen. Listen, let that blade on down. Let no man preach on separation, consecration, dedication to God. And let God bless it, and he will. But he said, it'll get me killed. Well, you've been saying you're waiting for the rapture. You'll just beat it. Amen. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he was a troublemaker. Now, God bless your heart. Here's another one. His name is Moses. God bless this man. Here he was on the backside of the desert. God began to deal with him about getting his people out of the hands of the Egyptians. Now somebody, our modern day little preacher, would have went in and have said, "Now folks, do I hear a motion? How many is in favor of leaving?" Moses went before Pharaoh, and he never began to dicker and say, "Listen, what do you think we can work out?" He said, "I've come to get God's people. And I'm getting them out of here." Pharaoh said, "Now wait a minute, Moses. Said, just take a few of them out here and have your little religious service, but don't take them all." He said, "I'm not leaving here without all of them." Amen. God bless your heart, preacher. You listen to me. Stand up on your hind legs and tell the devil where to get off at. Amen. There's some meaning today. I'm sorry that I have to say this. I thank God for you preachers. But I'm sorry, brethren. There's meaning that profess that they've been called to preach the Word of God, that somebody can just kind of walk up and point their finger at it. And they say, "Well, I didn't mean you. Or I wasn't talking to you." Brother, listen, right now, I believe that we've got a commitment to every human being walking the face of this whole earth. And I believe that one day after a while, if we don't stand true to God and tell the devil and his crowd where to get off at, I believe there'll be young men and women who'll point their finger in our faces one day. I believe if there's ever been a time, you better stand. I mean, you said they'll run me off of my church. Let her go, boy. Yeah. Let her go. I never will forget here a while back, a young preacher, I was preaching at a Bible conference, he come up to me after the service. Said, "I'll tell you, I'm going back to my church and preach just like you." I got a phone call from him about 3 weeks later. He said, "If you know of a good church looking for a pastor, I'm available." Eh? They done run him off. Done run him off. But God Almighty doesn't want you to be a little passive kind of preacher. He wants you to have a backbone like a sawed and stand up for God. And so many churches and pulpits today are loaded and filled with men. God bless you, dear heart, that they're controlled many times by the ladies of the church. Oh, my God, today. Preachers, listen to me. You're God's man. Did you hear that? You're God's man. And brother, conduct yourself in such fashion. Don't be dictated to by anybody. You're the under-shepherd of God's flock, and God wants you to lead them like a man ought to lead them. Hallelujah. So many are controlled by little boards, committees, and their wives. Some of you men can't say amen. You've got to go home tonight. Amen. Well, now somebody said, "How do you feel about women in the church? Our churches would be in a mess if it wasn't for some godly women in it." But I want to tell you right now, God's given the authority of leadership to the men and not the women. Amen? Amen. Many churches that still have these conferences, many churches will allow women to get up and make policies, making motions and seconds in the church. Brother, it's just not right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just not right. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, my friend, but it's the truth anyhow. If you haven't already found it out, it's the truth anyhow. Many of the churches today, and you say, I'm not talking about Episcopalians or something like that. Did you know there's Baptist churches today that's got women preachers? Amen. Well, you said, now, Richard Blue, what do you think? I believe God wants some men like Moses said, we're going to take them all out of here. We're not going to leave any of them in here. There'll not be one single one of them left. I don't need a motion in a second. God sent me after them, and I've come to give them. Hallelujah. I believe it's time that you raise the roof. If you have to do it, God bless your heart and get God's youngins on the move. And if you say, well, now, Preacher Blue, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I don't want to stir up no trouble. If you're God's man preaching the book, I promise you right now, you're already stirring up trouble.
Amen.
Amen. You're already. It's not been an easy route. I've been there for 30 long years. 30 years. I promise you right now, I've had to walk through some hell. And if you walk for God and preach the book like it is to men like they are, you'll walk through some hell. I never will forget one time they had me in court for preaching the gospel. Had me in court. I never will forget as long as I live. They had one of these little young lawyers up. And I'm honest before God, I had to look around and see if he was talking about me. I never been accused of so many things in all the days of my life. And they had a judge. What if they call them little glasses, just half of them cut off? Bifocals? He had them kind of glasses on. He'd look at that little lawyer, and he'd look over at me. And he'd look at him, and he'd look at me. One of them old-fashioned judges. And he'd look at him, and look at me. That's why he said that lawyer. He said, would you shut up a minute? And he said, preacher, come here. And I walked up in front of him, and he said, did you preach that? And I said, yes, Your Honor, I did. He said, would you preach it again? And I said, yes, sir, I would. He said, case dismissed. Amen. That's it. Yeah. Why, God bless your heart, miss. You can't preach it like it is without stirring up some trouble. There, everybody ain't gonna like you. And when you think they are, bless your heart, you've been compromising if they do. I mean, listen, it's not been an easy road, it's been a good road. I'm not tired of the way. I got tired in the way, but I'm not tired of the way. Amen. I remember in the old church I was preaching at one time and made a bunch of them mad. We went home that night and went to bed. They started rocking my house. I mean rocking. I don't mean throwing gravel at it. I mean rocks. They'd rock my house, rocked it all out. I mean, listen, every time we turn the lights out, they'd start rocking the house. Next morning, I'd go out and pick the rocks up and throw them back across the fence. Next night, they'd throw them back down. Every night. I mean, listen. They done it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I mean, they never quit. Broke some of the weatherboard and knocked the paint off. Broke some of the windows. Throw the rocks in the house. Somebody said, well, why didn't you go back next Sunday and compromise? No, sirree, brother. You got to stand hitched. Amen. Now, I never will forget one night I was in there and nerve just about wrecked. And somebody knocked at my door. Boy, I tell you what right now. I said, hey, preacher! My wife said, don't you go out there, they'll kick you. And I went and turned a little porch light on, and there stood the king bootlegger on my front porch with a rifle standing right beside it. We live kind of out in the woods. Was you ever poor enough that the only lock you had on your house just tried to kind of drive a nail into the angle and bend it over the door? Amen. How many? Come on, how many? Hello there, you clodhoppers. Amen. Amen. That's the kind of lock we had. He said, hey, I want to talk to you, preacher. I'm telling you right now. I walked back to that aisle last night, daring anybody to hit me, but I wasn't in the spirit when he said that. Amen. I turned that nail and walked out on the porch, and I said, what do you want? And he looked around at me, and his teeth was together. He said, why didn't you tell us what they was doing? And I said, tell who? He said, tell us. I said, who's us? Thought I might outrun him, but didn't know about us. He said, preacher, said, you know that we don't go to church at your church. But he said, my wife and my children go. He said, they've run every preacher off that's ever come there and told them the truth like it was. He said, if you'll stay and preach the gospel to them, he said, we'll guard your house while you sleep. Hallelujah, I got in your hand. I think that right? I said, who's us? Well, I was concerned about us. And he walked out the edge of the porch, hollered out in the woods, out in the dark, and said, hey, Tom, you out there? Tom was another bootlegger. But from out in the woods come the sound. I'm out here. Walked over there to call the porch and said, "Ma'am, you out there?" "Yeah, I'm here." And all around my house was a ring of bootleggers. Amen? They said, "We'll guard your house while you sleep." I said, "Good night."
Amen.
Walk back in, show you how brave I was, never even turned a nail. Left it off. Just left her off. You don't need a nail when there's 15 shotguns around your house. If they miss them, that nail never would stop. I walked back in the house and my wife said, "What did you want?" I said, "Go to sleep, Palmer." Amen. I was looking sometime ago at some pictures I had in the picture album, and I began to weep. Because there, standing in the river, I was baptizing that old boy that was standing on the porch. Somebody said, "What'd you do?" "Stirred up some trouble, amen." "Stirred up some trouble? You start preaching like you ought to, and you'll stir up some trouble too." Amen. All right. Old Noah stirred up trouble. Moses stirred up trouble. But now then, I want you to notice something else. There was another man that stirred up some trouble, and I read about him here in Matthew chapter 3. His name was John. Amen. One of his first services, he got up in the pulpit and said, "You're a bunch of snakes." And you just imagine what the ministerial alliance said when they met the next morning. Said, "How dare that uncouth." Said, "Why, he didn't have on a heart shaper and marked suit. Did you see how he was dressed? With a handful of roasted grasshoppers and some honey." "Well," I said, "who does he think he is?" John said, "It's not a matter of who you think I am." "Said, you're a bunch of snakes." And you said, "Well now, preacher, wait a minute. Don't you think he ought to be a little bit kind about his attitude?" No, that's the reason now. We got so many old mealy mouth preachers running around. They won't look down at people's God-given eyeballs and tell them where to get off at. Amen. Get run over and run out. Poor old preachers, God bless their hearts. They move so much their old furniture just a shaking and a rattling and a rolling. Amen. Lord, they can hardly pass by an empty cardboard box for what they don't want to get. Amen. Hey. I catch myself still going behind the store shipping it in the box. "Well, you're sitting now, Preacher Blue. I tell you, it's getting mean around here. I kind of feel led to leave." Folks, you hear me? John the Baptist come on the scene preaching it like it was. He looked that bunch in the face and told them where to get off at. Somebody said, "What did it cost him?" Cost him his life. Amen. But his ministry still lived on. Amen. His ministry still lived on. God help any church today that'll water down the message to suit this backslidden world. God help any church or any preacher today that'll water down the message of God to try to get a crowd in. Amen, folks. Listen to me now. Listen to me. If you say, "Well, Preacher Blue, if I preach it like it is, I'll run them off." I don't believe a word of that. There's a crowd that'll leave, but this world's dying to hear this right here. This is the book that'll get the job done. This book has still got power in it. This book has got life in it. It lives. Hallelujah. You don't have to go around saying, "Well, now I read in one of our news magazines that Dr. Bottlestopper believed that Dr. Confounding Brass was right in his summation." I got one word to say to that. Hogwash. Amen. You say, "What can I preach?" Right here. Right here. "Well," you said, "I'll run so-and-so off." Not if they love God, you won't. Not if you love God. If they love God, you won't. Just stand up, stand here, tell them like it is. And if there's any God in them, they'll stay with you. Hallelujah. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Old John, they came out and said, "We want to get baptized." Said, "You ain't nothing but a bunch of snakes." Said, "Bring me some fruit and meat for repentance." Said, "You're a generation of vipers." Said, "Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John, my friend, listen, wouldn't have nothing to do with that outfit. There are people today, my friend, that'll lower their standards, that they'll take anything in. Did you know the Baptist Church is the easiest thing in the world to get into today? You may have trouble about getting the mooses and the gooses and the looses, but you can shine up with a local Baptist church, whether you've been saved, most of them or not. Amen? They've got a little song they're singing. Come on, John, the pastor called us. Come on, John. Oh, you can have your ice cream social anytime. Hi, hi.
I don't have that on my long play album. Amen.
You better stop telling your mind, friend, how to say, well, you just sit quiet and hope that you're going to go to heaven anyhow. It's going to take the blood of Christ to never go to hell. Amen. And all the evidence is that many of them have never been born again or live different what they do live.
Peppers do, amen.
Running around here. Some of you came to the altar tonight, and I found out tonight like that what you come down here for wasn't a bit real. You should have come back tonight, you should have come back dressed different than what you was last night. Don't tell me you can come and get right with God with one of them little aprons, so-called aprons on, and come back the next night and got the same kind of dress on. It's just not right.
Amen.
Next of all, next time, here was another man who was a troublemaker. His name was Nathan. Nathan had to go tell the king where to get off at. Nathan was a man that told the king that he had done wrong and God was going to deal with him about it. And Nathan had a backbone and stood for God and stood up trouble for the king. Brother, listen to me tonight. Listen to me, please. I beg of you, listen to me. If there's ever been a day that you need to get back in your secret place of prayer and come out with the kind of glory of God on your face and come before your people with power in your soul and plow down to the avenues of their soul and not back up an inch, it's right now in the day that we're living in.
Amen.
Every preacher that ought to, every preacher that believes that, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Here was Nathan. God told him what the king had done, and Nathan went over to see the king. I imagine that King David said, "Why, sure, show my pastor in." So Nathan came into the room where the king was at, and you know the story, how he told him the man came through the land visiting. How he told him how the man taken the one lamb the man had raised and nourished up in his bosom. How he slaughtered it and spared the man's great flock. David told in all fury that man would have to pay. And Nathan put his finger in the day in David's face and said, "Thou art the man." Brother, you listen to me right now. It's going to take something more than this little perfume squirting rose water sermonettes that are designed for Christianettes. They can't wait to get the kitchenette to smoke their cigarette. It's going to take something more than that to do the job for God. It's going to take some real preaching for God to spare the devil up. You know, the devil don't even know some preachers are alive. They never even have got him mad one bit in the world. Never have said enough to get him mad. You remember one time there was one that ever said, "I, Paul, I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you?" You know, I want the devil. I want the devil to know my first name and social security number. I want to be the most hated man on the devil's list. I want the little demons to go dancing back into hell tonight and ask if they've got an Alka-Seltzer to take. Amen. Amen. Brother, you hear me? Right around where you're at, listen. Walk into Cleveland and say, "Do you know Ed Blue?" And usually you'll say, "Yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know him." Brother, if you walk the talk for God and live like you ought to and preach it like it is, there'll be men that'll hate the ground you stand on around where you're at.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We've got too many preachers today that's trying to join up with everything and trying to build the church into a social atmosphere.
Amen.
It's not that we need, brother.
Amen.
We need some old-fashioned churches that the doors can swing open and folks can come in to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Nathan said, "King, you've done wrong, and your sins are going to find you out." Oh, dear preachers, listen to me tonight. I'm not trying to tell you you're not preaching, and I'm the only one that is, but I'm trying to charge your souls tonight. If there's a crowd in your church that's trying to break your heart, trying to kill you and trying to run you off, you go back behind one of these mountains somewhere and get down on your knees. If God give you grace to straighten your face up, and you come back, glory to God, not worrying about their looks, not worrying about how they stare at you and how they want to kill you, but go back in that pulpit with the power of God on you and let the world know where you're standing for Jesus. Oh, you said, "I ain't doing no good." That'll all come out one day at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It'll all come out. If you women, any of you that's married to a godly preacher, I'll tell you right now, I'm not having an ordination here, but I'm preaching primarily to preachers tonight. I know that. But any of you women that's married to a preacher, if you've got a man that's a preacher that's got a backbone, you stand right by his side. Amen? I mean, don't back up an inch, not one single inch, but stand right by his side and let God use him for his glory and for his honor. Thank God for godly women as preachers' wives. I never stop thanking the Lord for my wife.
She's raised my family. Stayed home many times, taking the kids to the hospital when I wasn't even there. I remember I was over at Riverdale, Georgia, one night. She called and said, Ed, told me one of the kids was desperately ill and they had it in the hospital. And I said, honey, I'll be home tonight after the service. Never will forget what you said. She said, Brother Ed, you just stay there and preach the book. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. Brother, you listen to me right now. I'm so sorry for some of these preachers I can't understand. Got that little cutie doll wife?
Yeah.
It thinks it's got to have everything in the world and it wouldn't sacrifice nothing for God. Amen? Every time her husband does get up enough grace of God to preach a message to dehorn the devil, she'll say, you out in the den there. You ought to box her jaws right there. Amen? Hallelujah to God. Amen. Hallelujah, I preached some means that looked like the devil sure killed me. My wife grabbed me by the arm and started in the door and said, let's go. Amen. What do you want to say? Amen. Amen. The troublemakers for God. Let me ask you something. Are you stirring up any trouble? I know the little boy who went to school. Last year he went to school. He got saved the year before last. He went back into school. You know what he done? He went back to the Bible under his arm. The principal said, you can't carry that thing in here. Sir, I got saved while I was at school this time. I got born again. And it was because of the preaching of this book. And I'll carry it till I die. Said, I guess you're a preacher. He said, no. He said, I just fell in love with this book. And I'm going to carry it for that. Said, you can't come to school here then. He said, I'll just have to leave. Somebody said, what to do? He took his Bible and walked out the door. Oh, you said, now, Preacher Blue, why didn't they want him in there? Listen, if you know this book's the one thing the devil hates. And if you want some attention, just walk down the street with this in your hand. And if you really want some attention, just open up and read it. Get down and pray. And God will honor glory. Have you seen it? You say, I don't want to be obvious. I believe we ought to be obvious. Now granted, God said, let your light so shine before me. But girls, he never said, let your tail light shine. Amen. Don't you wish you could look so mean at me, I'd quit. But them little pads of foam coming out of the corner of your mouth ain't making me a bit afraid. Some of you little old short-dressed tail hussies running around here, I'd be ashamed if I was you.
Amen.
Amen. You say, don't call me a hussy. Hussy, hussy, hussy. Amen. The question comes to my heart, if you're not trying to sell your merchandise, what you got on the display counter for? Amen. Amen. Too many people are comfortable in this world when they should be making it uncomfortable for the devil. Now, my family and myself are looking for it. It'll probably happen. My wife, you could call her up and say, what do you think will happen to Ed? We're looking for me to get shot down in the pulpit. We're expecting that. It'll probably happen one of these days. Somebody said, why? Preacher, Stephen's preached and the stone is the dead. I don't believe it's changed. If Jesus Christ come back today, they'd crucify him. Amen. You're so all-fired thinking that people love the truth as wrong as you can be. They don't love it. They hate it. You say they love God's light? No. He said you won't come to the light, lest your deeds be reproved. Is that right? Sure, that's right. Now, preacher, if you think the folks just going to fall head over heels in love with you, you're crazy. If you stand and preach it like it is, they're going to hate the ground you walk on. And they make it. Wasn't it down somewhere down in here that they shot that man in his front door? Huh? I know another man up here in North Georgia was preaching in the pulpit. And a man walked out the door, walked to his house just a few doors down, and got a shotgun and come back and shot the man down while he's preaching the pulpit. And you think they're going to love you for living for God? You say, well, preacher, what do you expect me to do as a layman? You let your light shine for God in that job where you're at, and I promise you right now, God bless your heart, everybody's not going to like you either. They'll despise you. And I promise you one thing, when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, you can shout about the things God let you do for him while you're in this world. Oh, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Quit going around like you've got mush in your mouth. Take a stand up for God and let the world know where you're at. Let the world know where you're at. My little girl, Tina, 15 years old. Tina, they laugh at her at school. She wears her dresses down to her knees. They call her Granny. She won't wear shorts, and she doesn't wear slacks. Here a while back, there's a storm. The principal looked out the window. Maybe you heard about it. That awful storm came through Cleveland. Oh, it tore up an awful lot. The principal looked out the window of his office and saw it coming. And he shouted over the loudspeaker, "All students, lay down on the floor. There's a tornado coming right towards the school. All students, lay down on the floor." One little girl went in hysterics. She screamed out, said, "Let me lay down by the side of Tina Blue. She's a Christian." They'd laugh at her when the storm come, amen? But then they want to lay down by the side of her, amen? You may look funny to the world, but brother, if you're standing for God, it'll all count one day after one. Now the last troublemaker I want to talk about. How many of you think you know who it was? Oh, it wasn't Paul. He's one of them. One of the greatest troublemakers that ever was, the world's ever known. You think you know who it was? Let me read it to you about it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. There he is. Some of you think Jesus come in this world just for the manufacture of little gold crosses hanging around your neck. Some of you think Jesus come in this world just to start some kind of religion. But you know what the Bible said in Matthew 10, 34? "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but a sword." Amen. Let me ask you right now, do you know of anybody that stirred up more trouble and controversy than Jesus ever did? Everywhere he went, my friend, he stirred up trouble. Every step he took, the devil was there. And everywhere he went, my friend, Jesus stirred trouble up. I'm not telling you to go out here and just try to be argumentative and a smart aleck, but I'm telling you, by the grace of God, live for Jesus. I'm telling you, my friend, to let your life be a shining light to a dying world. I tell you, if you will do that, my dear one, you will stir up trouble in the state we're living in. They say old Ed's a fanatic. They said he's crazy. They said, "Why, he ain't got no sense." I tell you what it is they don't want. They don't want me to cut down on this book. And there are some of you, if you get out of here, you won't come back for the second dose either, amen? But preachers, church members, singers, live for God in this day you're living in right now. May your children be taught to live for God. I said a while ago, they laugh at my little girl. They mock her and ridicule her. They call her names. But I promise you one thing. God Almighty knows I speak the truth and lie not. She bows on her knees and prays for him at night. God will honor that. God will honor that. Some of you right now, my wife and my daughter, if we had anything, and we went to the neighborhood, wore slacks and shorts. My wife and my daughter looked like hot balls in that neighborhood. I promise you one thing, when somebody prays for them, you know what they're going to do. You'll live for God. Boys and girls that are going to, how many students do we have here tonight? Let me see you raise your hand. If you're a student in school, let me see you raise your hand. Now then take them down. How many of you raise your hand and say you were a student that you say, "I'm sorry, preacher"? How many of you can say that? Let me see you raise your hand again. Let me say this to you in my closing remarks, and I'm going to close in just a minute. Tonight, if God dwells in your heart, there's a crowd down at the school you can't have nothing to do with. There's a crowd down there at that school, that pot-smoking crowd, that cursing and filthy-minded and sexual crowd you can have nothing to do with. Well, as you said, they'll call me a snob. You separate yourself and live for God when they need somebody to pray for them. You'll be the one they'll look up. So you say, "Well, Brother Ed, I've caused some controversy and trouble. Stand for God and let the devil howl, regardless of what he says." God will honor it one day, and God will bless you. We're living in a terrible day. Some of you right now, what you said to me last night and tonight, you came in the door. Well, said, preacher, it's hard to buck the style of our day. It's not hard if you've got God dwelling in your heart. And if you're living like you're living because it's simply a style, you can't be right with God. Style doesn't dictate policy to a child of God. God help you, lady, if style is setting your course of life and you're living like style dictates, God help you tonight. Some of you shaggy-headed fellas look like the wrong end of a mop. I go get me a haircut tomorrow. Now, I'm saying that with love. I'm not trying to be a smartass, but I'd be ashamed if I did. To be dictating how my hair looks because of some roach bugs that come out of England. What roach bugs? Beetles, wasn't it? Roach bugs. Same difference. Amen. I'd be ashamed of the dogs. Crowd walking around with a bunch of old nasty blue jeans on and green flies going around their head. I don't like you, though your brother's devil don't either. I believe there's a line that God's done that's about to come to us that I ain't going to cross. I ain't going to get that hard, I ain't going to go far. You say, well, they'll turn against you. Sure they will. But what does it matter to you if God loves you? Well, he said, I don't mind if you won't get no more. Amen. Friend, listen, we are God's ambassadors, but we're God's troublemakers. We're living in a world today that we ought to let the devil know we're here. The devil and his crowd ought to know that we're around. Though I'm sorry to say, many churches are so letting the gap down, and you're so letting their policies down, that you'd never know there was any godly standards around there anywhere. Folks, I believe it's time we took our stand for God, don't you? I believe it's time today that we took our stand that the devil and his crowd know we're around. We've been run over long enough. We've been laughed at long enough. Brother, I believe, bless you, dear heart, it's time we took our stand for God and say, just let the devil laugh, howl, growl, whatever he wants to do. Right here is where I'm going to stand for Jesus. Right here is the spot I'm going to stand in. I'm going to back up an inch. And if you'll do that, God will honor it and God will bless you. God will honor it and God will bless you. I want the ladies to come to you.